the charge of the goddess. I am the beauty of the green earth and the white moon among the stars and the mysteries of the waters. I call upon your soul to arise and come unto me, for I am the soul of nature that gives life to the universe. For me all things proceed, and unto me they must return. Let my worship be in the heart that rejoices, for behold, all acts of love and pleasure are my rituals. Let there be beauty and strength, power and compassion, honor and humility, mirth and reverence within you. And you who seek to know me, know that your seeking and yearning will avail you not unless you know the mystery. For if that which you seek you find not within yourself, you will never find without. For behold, I have been with you from the beginning, and I am that which is attained at the end of desire.
Good morning. Idealism sees the world in God. It beholds the whole circle of persons and things, of actions and events, as one vast picture. Thus saith Ralph Waldo Emerson in his essay on nature. Along with Emerson, I belong somewhere, everywhere, infinitely connected with the whole. Any sense of separation from others, either human or non-human, or from the vast creation, from some atoms to black holes, is merely my limited view of where I am and how I fit in. Paganism sees the God in the world. Again from Emerson, the greatest delight which the fields and woods minister is a suggestion of an occult relation between man and the vegetable. I am not alone and unacknowledged. Nature always wears the colors of the spirit. We who worship all creation cannot just take a walk through the woods. We interact with them, welcoming not only beauty and botanical knowledge, but once again seeing ourselves included in the picture. The mosquito and I commune, sharing something vital. The mockingbird auditions its new tunes, and I try to replay them, joining in my own unbirdly warblings. I stop to see a yucca, or a bird of paradise, or a daisy, and end up intimately involved, pollen on my nose, and a vision straight from Georgia O'Keeffe in my heart. I rejoice in feeling at home wherever I go. Or as Emerson would say, we are taught by great actions that the universe is the property of every individual in it. We pagans embrace our participation in this dance. And this dance is free form, driven by our desire to share our joy or our pain with creation. Through our active participation and acceptance of our belonging here and now, we cannot be truly isolated or left behind. We need only think about the connections, such as the respiration cycle of animal and plant, or the way our bodies are designed to present access from our deepest places by way of our hands and feet, to know what this inclusion means. Pagans honor the connections and even give them personalities, God or goddess, to better enable us to be with them. Throughout history and long before written theologies, we have communed with Maeve or the Holly King, or sought refuge from the seemingly endless winter in the celebration of light. We are awed, but not afraid. Emerson reminds us that nature is made to conspire with spirit to emancipate us. The best, the happiest moments of life are these delicious awakenings of the higher powers. So pagans celebrate life. We feast and dance and chant, and join in community to remind ourselves of our holy inclusion in nature. We might name certain aspects Astarte, or Green Man, or Kali, or Vishnu, or Pan, and we might reject the invasion of nature by someone outside it. No one, no thing is outside. We can easily join in the spiral dance with the celebrants of Yule or Litha or Samhain and hear echoes of Emerson rejoicing. As when the summer comes from the south, the snowbanks melt and the face of the earth becomes green before it, so shall the advancing spirit create its ornaments along its path and carry with it beauty it visits and the song which enchants it. It shall draw beautiful faces and warm hearts and wise discourse and heroic acts around its way. So mote it be.
Good morning. Thank you for coming this morning. So much of what I feel about paganism cannot be put into words. If I had to strip paganism down to its core, I would call it the direct experience of the divine through nature. How do you describe an epiphany? I have a quote which expresses this difficulty. The story I have told, although a tale, can represent the witching spell so many of us use when at our craft of transmuting our lives into words. The essence is always lost. This is the one law of every word about inspiration, nor will this summary of mine avoid it. This is from Jorge Luis Borges' poem, The Moon, from the collection Dream Tigers. One of my sources describes transcendentalism as a philosophy emphasizing the intuitive and the spiritual above the empirical. In some ways, paganism is tied to objective reality, in that nature is perhaps our greatest inspiration. But this reverence is inextricably tied to the intuitive and spiritual realms. For pagans, there is both a physical and a spiritual aspect to nature, and this understanding is reached through intuition. There are innumerable tools and techniques for achieving this state of awareness of the immanence of spirit in nature. If you are around pagans any length of time, you will hear them talk of the Kabbalah, or the tarot, or trance dancing, shamanic drumming, runes, or any number of other tools and practices that help us to reach this state of union with the life force. But this state can be reached spontaneously sometimes as well. When we have these moments, they transform us in ways both subtle and powerful. We grasp, however briefly, a vivid understanding of our place in the universe and our connection to all that is and all that will be. The seventh principle of Unitarian Universalism states that we UUs affirm, quote, our respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part, close quote. This dovetails nicely with the dictionary definition of transcendent, which is something universally applicable or significant. To me, feeling deeply connected to the life force is universally applicable or significant. When we realize we are connected to all the beauty around us and within us, that we are part of the divine and it is part of us, we can truly feel our responsibility to the world around us and take hold of the joy within us. Paganism is not tied to a book. There is no sacred text. This frees us to discover spiritual meaning on our own terms. We can build our theology based on our personal experience of existence. We are not tied to words. We are tied to our senses. If it is true, as some had said, that we are the sensory organs of the deity, then our primary duty is to experience this world in all the fullness we are capable of. Thoreau said, "Live each season as it passes. Breathe the air, drink the drink, taste the fruit, and surrender yourself to the influences of each." So much of our society today conspires in the process of separating us from the world around us. I found existentialism described as being opposed to rationalism and empiricism, stressing the individual's unique position as a self-determining agent responsible for the authenticity of his or her choices. The pressure is certainly there to be rational and empirical, and they have their place. But we have talked a great deal in this church about being authentic in our spiritual choices. And for pagans, part of that is honoring the powerful pull of the spiritual that we sense in the natural world. For us, science leads us down a useful and practical road. But beyond the dead-end sign and the fences, we see meadows beyond of wonderful things that science cannot explain. Indeed, science denies their existence. But our hearts tell us that the wisdom of a tree is sacred and real, even if it can't be measured or seen. The wind sings its mysteries to us, and the hawk is our brother. The dictionary definition of existential is grounded in existence or the experience of existence. Our feet are rooted in the earth, but our hearts reach out to encompass the universe. We seek to experience existence to the fullest of our abilities, and from that, draw the strength to explore every door that opens to us, whether it has a rational explanation or not. I don't believe that paganism is necessarily opposed to rationalism. I'd like to think that rationalism is an important part of the process of spiritual development, but not an exclusive part. The logical mind can coexist with the intuitive. It is possible for them to complement each other. There is also no concept of original sin in paganism. We each contain some measure of the Godhead, to be reunited in wholeness with it again at some later point. Again, Thoreau says, "Men are born to succeed, not fail." This makes complete sense to pagans. As being born without sin, we are worthy of whatever insights and mercies that the gods give us. The life force is like a mother a few steps away, encouraging us to stumble into welcoming arms. It is a father who puts his arm around our shoulders and tells us to follow our dreams. We are meant to succeed. We are worthy and nurtured and beloved of our gods. And just as we are part of the life force, we are also part of all things. Now, I know that talking of gods and goddesses is a little discomforting for you youths, but it may make more sense if I put it in these terms. Whether you believe in a god or not, a big daddy in the sky, or the universe moving along unpredictable lines of quantum mechanics, you must know that the life force is something far beyond our ability to comprehend. Even though we are a part of it, we are limited beings in our present manifest form. Recall that the dictionary says, "Transcendent is something universally applicable or significant." Even though we cannot grasp the life force in its fullness, I believe there is a universal yearning to define it, to limit that fullness to a form we can comprehend, commune with, and enfold within us. Let me share with you this rather surprising quote from Thoreau. "In my pantheon, Pan still reigns in his pristine glory, with his ruddy face, his flowing beard, and his shaggy body, his pipe and his crook. For the great god Pan is not dead, as was rumored. No god ever dies. Perhaps of all the gods of New England and ancient Greece, I am most constant at his shrine. I was born to be a pantheist, if that be the name of me." At Walden, Thoreau felt what many pagans feel, that there is truth within myths, that all god forms have their place, the life force is embodied in the form that speaks to you most intensely. Choose the mask that speaks to you. Respond to it as your own personal patron. Seek its wisdom and feel it in your heart. Whatever God is or isn't, we are that too. We are makers and shapers, and sometimes destroyers. We are Spider Woman weaving the web of the world. We are Kali the destroyer. Or we are Pan resting against a tree, enjoying the sunlight splashing through the green leaves. You heard the charge of the goddess. Recall that part of it reads, "If that which you seek you find not within yourself, you will never find it without." This may remind some of you who grew up in the 60s, as I did, of "Thou Art God" from Strange in a Strange Land by that notable heretic, Robert Heinlein. Or try this one from a heretic even more renowned: "The kingdom of God is within you." The point is that this reality is something we create together, whether we take an active conscious role in that process or not. Remember that transcendentalism is a philosophy emphasizing the intuitive and the spiritual above the empirical. I cannot prove that we are one with the life force, but I share with other pagans the belief that my intuition gives me spiritual insights which are valid, and that therefore feeling at one with the life force is true. Then we can look back and recall that existentialism is opposed to rationalism and empiricism, stressing the individual's unique position as a self-determining agent responsible for the authenticity of his or her choices. Our choices interweave to make this world what it is. Look out at the world and consider what you want it to be. Think about what you believe would make it a more beautiful, more powerful, more radiant place. I'm not saying that this world doesn't have these virtues already, but we know there is a long list of things which could be better. Then turn inward and strive to manifest the qualities you envision within yourself. From that, you can begin to put forth the effort to make these changes echo out into the world. Does this sound simplistic? Perhaps in some ways it is. And yet it works. Look within for compassion. Look within for justice, for responsibility and tolerance, and all those things we know are in short supply. Let there be hope. And there was hope. It's uncanny the way we talk ourselves into believing that we have no say in molding our reality. Let us take hold of our power, embrace it and make it our own. Feel it quivering through us, wild and wonderful. This is our time. This is our place. Let's make it enchanting. So mote it be.
Waters of the West, we thank you for your gracious presence with us. We will remember to affirm our self-worth with vigor. We embrace our true nature and feel it as a vital part of our spiritual being. Lift up our hearts as we say, "Hail and farewell, West."
Hail and farewell, West.
Fires of the South, we thank you for your gracious presence with us. We will remember that the path to wholeness requires hard work and passion, and will face our issues with courage and resolve. We embrace our true nature and feel it as a vital part of our spiritual being. Lift up our hearts as we say, "Hail and farewell, South."
Hail and farewell, South.
Light of the East, we thank you for your gracious presence with us. We'll remember that all parts of our being are worthy and glorious in the sight of the gods. We embrace our true nature and feel it as a vital part of our spiritual being. Lift up our hearts as we say, "Hail and farewell, East."
Hail and farewell, East.
Crystals of the North, we thank you for your gracious presence with us.
We will remember to let down our walls, accepting risk in the hope of creating understanding.
We embrace our true nature and feel it as a vital part of our spiritual being. Lift up our hearts as we say, Hail and farewell, North. Hail and farewell, North.
Energies of the Center, we thank you for your gracious presence with us. We will remember to let your power move through us and create union with the world beyond. Allow us to touch those around us so that your loving spirit may enter them with love, light, and tolerance. I embrace my true nature and feel it as a vital part of my spiritual being. Lift up our hearts as we say, Hail and farewell, Center. And if we would read together. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are given again.
Hear me, four quarters of the world, a relative I am. Give me strength to walk the soft earth. Give me the eyes to see and the strength to understand. Look upon these faces of children without number, that they may face the winds and walk the good road to the day of quiet. This is my prayer. Hear me.
If you choose to, take the hand of your neighbor on either side. The circle is open, but not broken. May the peace of the God and Goddess go in your hearts. Merry meet, and merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.
Blessed be.